right, I welcome you to ABCs of Christian Growth. This is Brother Thurman with the next lesson that we're going to have here. Brothers and sisters, I thank you for joining in today. I know that you had to fight the enemy to do this, and the Lord knows that, and you have honored the Lord by sitting down and studying His Word on purpose. And you do every time when you open His Word and honor His Word. And don't underestimate that, because the Lord doesn't, and the Lord rewards you and the body of Christ and individuals that sit down and love the Lord enough to study His Word and to find out what His will is and what His wisdom is concerning matters. Today we're going to go back into our study of the letter K, and of course we're talking about killing. Not a very popular subject, not spoken of. I mean, the word kill and killing and killedest and killest and so on and so forth is all over the scriptures. It's in there. But as far as taking it as a subject, the very most that the Lord done was said, "Thou shalt not kill." And then He laid down the rules of what's going to happen if you take somebody's life. The reason that the Lord talks about killing is because He is the God of life. The only reason the Lord is interested in killing is because He loves life. The Bible says that the last enemy that's going to be destroyed is death. The last enemy that's going to be destroyed, I mean, in the spirit world, and the Lord fighting against the enemy, and us fighting against the enemy, and all this battling going on, the last enemy that's going to be destroyed is death. So you can see that the Lord's mind concerning killing and death and taking life is just that right there. He wants it over with. He don't want people to die. He said the Lord is not willing that any should perish. One reason that the Lord Jesus Christ came was to stop people from dying. I mean, your body's going to die, of course, unless the Lord comes and takes us out of here and changes us. But the body, the soul, die and go to hell and burn for eternity. That's not God's plan, and that's not what He wants. He don't want that to happen to anybody. And if it does happen to somebody, it's by their complete and utter choice and will. The will is a free agent. That's one thing that the Lord has left in our control, is our own will. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to spend eternity? And the Lord leaves that completely up to you. He gave you an option, the Lord Jesus Christ, and made it very attainable, easy to get. Just ask. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord's not kidding around with that matter. If you call upon Jesus Christ, He'll save you. Have you tried it? Most of you probably know what I'm talking about because you're my brother and sister in Christ. But if you're listening to this and you have no idea what I'm talking about, and you've heard this about Jesus Christ before, why haven't you tried it? If you want to go to heaven and people tell you that the Bible says believe on Jesus Christ and He'll give you eternal life and save you. And you say, "Ah, phooey, that's ridiculous." Have you tried it? Have you put the Lord to the test? The only thing the Lord requires is sincerity and truth, that when you come to Him, you believe in Him and you talk to Him as a person and you want to be saved, and you ask Him sincerely, "Have you tried it?" Then how do you know if it works? There's millions of people in history and now that'll tell you straight to your face, "Jesus Christ saved me." I'll tell you that. Jesus Christ saved my soul. In 1981, at Landstuhl, Germany, at Rhineland Baptist Church, under the preaching of Roy Grigsby, my very first pastor, he saved me. And that's all I can tell you. I had nothing to do with it. He arranged it, had me come into the church, had me hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and offered it to me. And I believed on it. And I said, yes, Lord, I want to be saved. And that's all I had to do with it. And he saved me. And he's been with me ever since. Now, I don't know I didn't know anything about doctrine, anything about the Lord, anything about the Bible, nothing about nothing. Except that there was a change in me. And it's been there ever since. My life has changed in so many ways, so many times, down and up and left and right and gone every direction that it can go since then in them 40-something years. But one thing that has not changed is what happened to me that day. That the Lord saved me and God the Holy Ghost indwelled me then and is still there and indwells me now, and I'm sealed with him until the day of redemption. Every one of you that are saved can say the exact same thing, not necessarily like mine, but the salvation is the same. You didn't do it. He did it, right? Isn't our Lord wonderful? But if you're not saved today, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you're just not going to try it and you're not going to believe it, then go somewhere else and leave it alone. Forget about it. And when you die, you'll find out that it was real and you'll be sorry for it. Because the Lord will put you in hell if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus came to defeat death, and he did. He resurrected. And everybody that believes on Christ after that is going to resurrect just like him. Except we're going to get eternal bodies, and we're going to live forever. Now, you can believe that or not believe that. It's your choice. But I would pray that you would believe it. By faith. No proof. Except for God's word. God said it. Can you muster up enough of faith to believe God's word and believe what God said and do what he says and see if it works? God keeps his word. He does. Every one of y'all can say that along with me. And if we was all here looking one another in the face, we could all tell you the same. So moving right along, we're going to talk about some more of this killing matter and what the Bible has to say about killing. But before we do that, and I don't even know why I'm doing this, but I want to share a few things I found on the news talking about killing and whether or not killing is a social matter now. Right up in the top fives, I'd say in the top threes now in society, that killing is a everyday matter, a everyday thought in the minds of the people, and it's really getting to be a numb matter in people's, a seared conscience matter in people's minds, because it's going on so often, and it's not really a bone-shaking thing to hear some of the things that people are doing in this matter of killing in society now. People don't shake at that anymore. They don't fear it anymore. They just get the local locksmith to come change the locks and just prepare themselves, you know. I mean, wait for their turn to come up and see if they can get through it. And that's really what's going on. Here's one for you. The DA to seek the death penalty for a Las Vegas man after 4-year-old boy is found dead in the freezer. In his freezer, his deep freeze, in the garage. Wrapped up, put way down at the bottom of the freezer and all the food on top of him and some smell absorbent things on top of his body, a 4-year-old. The fellow murdered him. He killed him. They're seeking the death penalty, and he deserves it. Accused of killing his girlfriend's 4-year-old son, then hiding his body in the garage freezer, all the while keeping his girlfriend chained up at home. He killed him. He killed a 4-year-old boy. Here's another one. This fella, 28 years old, is the husband that got arrested. He was taken into custody, and cops arrested hubby, who allegedly ordered a hit on his wife that left 2 dead. He ordered a hit on his wife and pretended that somebody else attacked them both and killed his wife. And I mean, this thing went on, and he went to the news, and it became a big deal, and that he was so sorry that his wife was gone, and nobody could ever replace her, and this, that, and the other, and the news got involved in it, and they put it on a channel, and he wasn't sure who the shooter was, but even if he did, he'd never be fully happy again without Erica. And he's the one that had her killed. He killed her. You say he didn't kill her, somebody else killed her. No, that's not the way the Lord looks at it. Remember King David? Killed Uriah to get Bathsheba? Remember? What did the Lord tell David? He told David, you killed Uriah. And he did. He ordered the killing. He put him at the front of the army, and right up there against the enemy, and the enemy killed him. But David did it, and he did it on purpose, so he could get his wife. But he killed her. He killed her and had her killed. That was, I turned it off, but not long ago, a day or so ago. Here's another one. 14-year-old faces murder charges after man stabbed to death at a child's birthday party. Whatever happened there, the 19-year-old killed a man that was at a child's birthday party. A 14-year-old stabbed him to death. Second-degree murder, they call it. 14 years old, killed a man at a child's birthday party. Better watch out for them birthday parties. Woman shot, killed in Daytona Beach, impossible love triangle. I think I'll pass on that kind of love. Love triangle. Woman shot. Killed. They write that down in the newspaper. Killed. Here it is right in front of me. Look it up. Killed. I wonder how many times. It'd be interesting to find out how many times a newspaper puts killed, the word killed, in their paper daily. That'd be an interesting thing. But I bet it's a lot more than you think. Woman shot, killed in Daytona Beach, impossible love triangle, 5 hours ago. Okay? All right, so, you know, this matter of killing, it's not something of history and something that's written in all the history books, put up in the shelves and forgotten about, and this matter of killing and blabbity, blabbity, blubbity, blub. Killing is a very live and... I don't want to put it. It's right up in the front. Top three things on the board that people think about. Killing. Here's the last one I want to read to you. This is 13 hours ago. Handyman gets 3 life sentences. Now, what do you suppose he did to get 3 life sentences? Well, we're talking about killing, so he did kill somebody. But listen to this. Handyman gets 3 life sentences for septic tank murder in Jensen Beach. So the handyman gets 3 life sentences for a septic tank murder. He killed a woman and put her body in a septic tank and is going to spend the rest of his life in jail. It said the DA didn't seek after the prosecutors waived their push for the death penalty. And this fella, 57, he's 34 years old and killed a 50. He was a handyman. He went in to work on her house. And he savagely killed her in first-degree murder. He burglarized her house and assaulted or battery and sexual battery with great force. And then he not only killed her, but he defiled her and put her in her own septic tank. You see, killing is not like the old cowboy movies. Pow, you're dead. Killing nowadays to make the headlines. I mean, if you shoot somebody, you're not going to make the headlines. But now, if you be their handyman and you go in and rob them and rape them and great forcefully perform sexual battery on them and then put them in their own septic tank and defile them, you make the headlines. And he was registered a sex offender in the state of Washington. Okay? All right, so there you go. Now, I'm not doing that to be funny. I'm not doing that cause you... I'm doing it for clarity. To understand that what I'm talking about... Now, we're on our probably, what, 6th or 7th lesson in this matter of killing in this study. And what the Bible says. And what we're trying to do is find out what God's mind is, the Word of God, and what it says about killing. But I want you to understand that, and I'm showing you that the reason that I'm doing this study, I mean, we're studying doctrine and the ABCs of Christian growth. And I'm sure you said at the beginning, and you're starting to understand, hopefully, that, well, why, if we're studying doctrine, we're studying the Word of God, would you bring up killing? I don't know. God, the Holy Ghost, put it on my heart. And every one of these studies, I've presented to you the newest news there is. Every time. And all of them are different. How many since the beginning, lesson one, do you suppose we've learned about in the news? At least 4 or 5 per lesson. We've done 6 lessons, 6 times 4 at the least, 24. We found out 24 killings, murders, and we've not been doing this lesson, but, well, you figure each lesson is one day. 24 killings, murders, savage things happening, youngsters, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds, and there's no age difference anymore. Anybody and everybody can be a victim and die and be killed. I just read you one about a 4-year-old put in a freezer and killed. The man killed him, put him in a freezer. Just read you one about a 57-year-old woman hired a handyman to do some work around her house. He killed her. Savagely abused her. And then put her in a septic tank. Huh? These are things that ought to make people shiver. Ought to make you go, I cannot believe this. They ought to, let's don't seek the death penalty. Surely we don't want to take anybody's life. Tell that to the woman in the sewer. Tell that to the 4-year-old in the freezer. Tell it to them. Say it to their face. Go up there in the morgue and look them in the face and say, we're just going to let this person live. We know they did this to you, but we're going to let them, huh? That's how people's minds are now. Not only the people that are involved in the killing, the murderer and the one that gets killed, but this is how society thinks about things. And the Lord says, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, murderers. And I'm showing you, in society, it's real, brothers and sisters. It's real. Today we're going to talk about suicide as described in the Bible. We might make two lessons about this. I'm not sure. But this is going to be the last portion of this study. So far, we began this study talking about the definitions of killing. And we wanted to stick right with killing and the subject of killing and what the Bible says about it. We defined it. We seen the difference in a 40-year-old definition or 50-year-old definition a while back versus the 2022 definition. We've seen synonyms and things like that. We've talked about reasons for killing in the Bible and went over those things. And then we also talked about reasons against killing in the Scriptures and what the Lord says about it. And then the killing of Christians. We talked about that. And that was and is a great matter. The Book of Martyrs, you get that book, and there's a couple other books that are good reading, good as far as the truth goes, not as far as the material. The material is terrible the way they treated Christians. And just because of the name of Jesus Christ and the testimony of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. That was it. And Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And they do. You just happen to live in a country that hasn't got there yet. It's going on. It's going on. You just happen to live in a country that has digressed. And right now is getting to the point to where killing is no big deal. No big deal. Matter of fact, it's kind of competitive. Who can defile somebody the worst? I mean, this guy's probably a hero in the jail. I mean, you took her and put her in the septic tank? Man. Yeah. And we talked about murder as described in the Bible. And we went through that. And today we're going to talk about suicide as described in the Bible. Now, we talked about the definitions of it when we started talking about murder. Okay, murder, homicide, we talked about that, remember? And homicide is a human being killing another human being. That's homicide. All right, what is murder? Murder is presumptuously killing somebody. Planning to kill somebody, a human being that kills another person on purpose. That's murder. Homicide is not murder. Homicide is a man that kills another, a human that kills another human, whatever way it might be, but it's not murder. Murder is intentionally meaning it and planning it and considering it and meditating on it and carrying it out. Murder. Okay, now what is suicide? Well, suicide is defined as the act of killing yourself. A person who kills himself intentionally. Kill oneself intentionally. An act of deliberate self-destruction. And then simply self-murder. Because nobody can kill themselves by accident. No such thing. If you die by your own hands, you did it, and you did it on purpose. You planned it. You considered it. You meditated on it. And you killed yourself. You want to talk about a lot going on. The youngest that I've found so far that has killed themselves is a 5-year-old and is on their death certificate as suicide. 5 years old. What does a 5-year-old know? Do they know their ABCs? Can they count to 100? Do they know how to cook? Do they know what marriage is? Do they know how to get to heaven? I mean, what does a 5-year-old know? When does a child start walking? About 1, 1.5, maybe? I don't know. Around 1, 1.5. They're crawling up to that, and then they get up and start wobbling all over the place. And then 2 years old, the terrible twos. And then 3, and then 4. And then 5. 5 years old, I think, is when they start school in kindergarten. I think. Right around there. Start school. They don't know nothing. But this one knew something. She knew enough about the world that she looked around her and decided that these things that she's seen on TV about killing oneself and that mommy and daddy, they sit down and watch this stuff, so there must be something to it. They watch people kill themselves on TV all the time, so there must be something to it. Mommy and daddy watches it all the time. And you know what? I'm kind of sick of the world. 5 years old. Comes home one afternoon from school. Mommy says something, and the child gets up, ends up getting disciplined and sent to her room. She goes in her room. The next time they find her and hear from her, it's never. They find her hanging from the top bunk by a belt that she put around the top bunk and around her neck and jumped and killed herself. Suicide. Well, what's the Bible say about suicide? Is suicide in the Scriptures? Is the word suicide in Scriptures? No, it's not. Is the behavior of suicide in the Scriptures? Yes, it is. What does God say about suicide? Well, let's find out. The first thing that we're going to talk about is suicidal thoughts and why in the Bible. Are there suicidal thoughts recorded in God's Word? Yes, there are. Yes, there are. The Bible says in Job, remember Job? Job in chapter 3 and verse 10 through 13, this is how Job was talking with his own mouth. He said, because it shut not up the doors. He's talking to these other three friends of his, and he's saying, you know, I don't want to live. He said, cursed is the day that I was born, and he starts talking like that, and then here's what he says, because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? He was saying, I wish I'd never been born. He said, why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? And why the breast that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet, I should have slept, then had I been at rest. I mean, every bit of those words that he's talking about, he's sitting there talking about dying, talking about wish he had never lived, talking about he wished he had died in his mother's womb, and then when he was born, he wished he had died, and he had never been upon his mama's knees and never got sustenance from her. He said, for now should I have lain, he said, if something like this would have happened for me, he said, now I should have lain still and been quiet. He'd been in the dirt, in the ground. I should have slept. Then had I been at rest, if I'd never been born. That's suicidal thoughts. And we know why Job talked like that, because the devil himself was persecuting him. You're talking about being persecuted by an unclean spirit, and talking about being persecuted by life, and talk about being persecuted by this and that and the other, and the things that go on in a human's life, in our life. Can you imagine being personally persecuted by Satan himself? I heard a guy say one time that as wicked as cities are, and ungodly, and the devils that are multiplied in cities and things like this, that I think it was a police that said this, a policeman. He said that, and he was a Christian, he said that you can tell a difference in the everyday unclean spirits in a city and the things that go on. He said, but when Satan himself comes through, he says, you wouldn't believe the things that go on. And I believe it. I believe it. But Satan himself, when he was persecuting Job, caused Job to think suicidal thoughts. He started talking like that. Okay? The first thing we want to understand about suicide as described in the Bible is that there is such thing as suicidal thoughts in the Scriptures. Why? Because of life's weariness. Job was weary. He was tired. He was fed up. He had enough. And people get like that. In Job chapter 3, in verse 20 and 22, listen to this. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery? This is Job talking. He's saying, how come people live when they're in misery? He said, why is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death? Now that's suicide as you can get right there. Longing for death, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, trying to figure out a way to die. That's all over the place, folks, today. All over the place. When I was up in PA running a troubled men's camp up there for 10, 11 years, I didn't actually, wasn't in charge of it for a while, for that long. My pastor was there, but when he passed away, and the time that he was getting sick and things like that, but either way, I had to do with the ministry. And every man that ever come in there, and we took 18 to, we had 70-year-old men in there, troubled men. Every single one of them had a suicide wish. Some way, some form, somehow, death was in his minds and in his mind and in his thoughts. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. Every one of them. That was an issue in their thoughts. Of life's weariness. I've had enough. Wherefore is life given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. That's Job. That's Job. That's weariness, folks. That's weariness. Suicide is described in the Bible? Yes, it is. Suicidal thoughts, and why? Because of life's weariness. Life's weariness. And life is weary, especially without the Lord. Job knew the Lord. That's why all this went on. What else? Well, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, let's get in the New Testament. The Bible says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two." This is the Apostle Paul. And the Lord God, the Holy Ghost, let him write this in the Scriptures, authored him to do it. "I am in a strait betwixt two." In other words, I got two thoughts going on in my mind. Having a desire. What's a desire? This is what I want. This is what I wish for. This is what I want to happen. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And then he goes on in the next verse and says, "But for your sakes, I got to stay here and help the church right now." But Paul said out of his own mouth, "I have a desire to get out of here. I want to leave. I want to go be with Christ." That's suicidal thoughts for life's weariness. And if there's anybody weary, it was Paul. Because he went through a lot, suffering for right things and doing right, but nevertheless, suffering and weariness. And he even mentioned that very word himself, talking about weariness. Talking about weariness. Suicidal thoughts, and why in the Bible? Well, because of life's weariness. What else? Well, because of life's vanity. You people out there that are living for the world and got one foot in the world and one foot out of the world, and I'm not talking, if you're not, don't take this, don't just listen. I'm talking to the ones that are trying to play in and out of the Lord. You can't do that. You can't do that. Life, you read the book of Ecclesiastes and Solomon will Ecclesiastes will teach you what life is all about, that it's meaningless without the Lord. You don't even have an identity without the Lord. That's why people are running all over the place and changing every day and changing this and changing that and something new. There's nothing new under the sun. That which hath been, that which is, has already been. The Bible tells us that and declares it. Life is vain in this life, in this body, on this planet, waiting for the Lord as a sinner. Life is vain. Yes, it is. And as soon as you get that in your mind and process it as truth, you'll start figuring out and seeing the way the Lord sees sees our lives and sees our reason and everything else on this planet. You have to think the way the Lord thinks about life and death in order to get any kind of understanding and purpose or identity. Otherwise, life is vain. Suicidal thoughts? Why? Because of life's vanity. Seems like life just doesn't get anywhere, no matter what you do. That's what the Lord said. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring into judgment every secret thing, or every work with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Listen to this in Ecclesiastes also. The Bible says in chapter 2, "Then said I in my heart," now this is Solomon, this is the man that God, that the Lord in the Scriptures says that there'll never be another man wiser than him. Now Solomon, we won't go into that. It's another study altogether. "Then said I in my heart, As it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? I mean, Solomon was thinking these things out, man. He was really, really thinking life out. Ecclesiastes is that type of book. It's, if you want to read something that, a good book that you can hear a person talking about what this life is all about and its experiences and trying to go from here to there to find the answer and to put a period on this question, what is life and what is life all about, period. Nobody can get to the period. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even unto me, and why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And now dieth, and how dieth the wise man? As the fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. And that was the main issue in Ecclesiastes, and the answer and the thought that Solomon come up with out of all his experimenting with life was vanity and vexation of the spirit. Talking about suicidal thoughts, that's what we're talking about. Suicide is described in the Bible. Why? Well, suicidal thoughts in the Bible. And why? Well, because of life's weariness and also life's vanity. You always hear people talking about, I mean, there is more psychological evaluationing going on and counseling going on and the study of psychiatry and the this and that and the other going on in society all over the world like it never has before. And they're trying to figure this matter out and trying to figure out human thinking and the brain and science and electricity in the brain and blah, 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 blah. And it's all because of life's vanity. And something that's probably said among everybody that, and I'm not saying anything against you people that have been in counseling. I have been in counseling, okay? I know what I'm talking about, and I'm not condemning it. Some of it's okay, and it helps. But as an answer and a period to life, that's not it. And life's vanity, everybody that goes for counseling, everybody that is taking meds, everybody that's doing this and that and the other having to do with life and life's vanity always says something that's unique. They say, I can't find a reason. Where is the reason for my life? Who am I? Why am I here? I mean, these are all the same questions that everybody asks. And what's it about? Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Yeah. Talking about suicide. We're talking about killing. We're talking about suicide. Why? Well, because of life's weariness. Why do people have suicidal thoughts and why in the Bible? Because of life's weariness, because of life's vanity. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 1 through 3 says, so I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors, there was power. But they had no comforter. Maybe talking about the rich and the poor there, perhaps. people with power that can afford things and have Medicare, medical insurance, have this and that and the other, and then the people that are oppressed. But both of them were not comforted. They didn't have comfort. It was vain. I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold the tears of such as were oppressed. And they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors, there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore I praised the dead, which are already dead, more than the living, which are yet alive. Yeah, better is he that than both of they, which hath not yet been. He's talking about an unborn child now. He says, yea, better is he than they both, than both they, which hath not yet been, not been born, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Wherefore I praise the dead, which are already dead, more than the living, which are yet alive. That was his conclusion. He said it didn't matter if you was the one being oppressed or the oppressor. Both cannot find comfort. It's vanity. There's nothing that I can find that will comfort me, and comfort me like we want to be comforted. All this temporary stuff, and you got to agree with him because it's absolutely true. Have you found any comfort from the world without the Lord? Any at all? I haven't. As a matter of fact, the more years that I live, the worse it gets. Not because I want it that way, because that's the way it is. Life's weariness. Suicidal thoughts? You better believe it. Is it in the Bible? Yeah. Why? Because of life's weariness. Because of life's vanity. What else? Well, because of anger. Suicidal thoughts in the Bible? Why? Because of anger. Remember Jonah? Let me read you something in the scriptures about Jonah. In chapter 3 and chapter 4. Let me read it to you. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. This is after Jonah went through his classroom in the fish's belly, and the Lord had that fish vomit him up, and he heads on over there and preaches where he's supposed to and what he was told to do in the first place, and then he does it. And then he goes and sits outside the city, and it says that God, after his preaching, that the city repented. And these were some very wicked people. And Jonah hated them because they treated the Jews bad. They treated his people bad. And Jonah didn't like them, and he didn't like going over there and preaching to them. He didn't want them to be saved. He wanted God to kill them. And God saw their works, the city, Nineveh. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil. And that does not mean that God repents like we repent. That just means God changed his mind from what he was originally going to do. And God saw their works, that they turned from the evil way, their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Okay, so we see Jonah's condition because of something that God changed his mind about, and it's all because of Jonah going in there and preaching, and he didn't want to go preaching to begin with, but it's either preach or be in the fish's belly, one or the other. And here's what Jonah did. It said, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. He said, that's the whole reason that I left when you called me to preach and I went the opposite direction and got on that ship and everything. Here's the whole reason that I left is exactly what you just did. You forgave them because you are a wonderful God and you're merciful and slow to anger and you're ready to forgive and you're of great kindness and you changed your mind. And anger, and this man is exceedingly angry because of this. And here's what his conclusion is. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Now, that's being mad, and that's having suicidal thoughts. To the extreme. Take, I beseech thee, my life from me. He's talking to a person that can do it. And he's mad because God had mercy on these people. And he was helping out God because he thought God was going to kill them. Because they wouldn't repent because of the behavior before. And he thought he knew what was going to happen. But the Lord forgave them. And they repented. And that's all good news. But it wasn't to Jonah. Jonah got so stinking mad that he told God, kill me, man. I don't want to live. For it's better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? The Lord always comes in with the right answers, doesn't he? Doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. The Lord trying to help him out. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Man, praise God, this gourd come. I feel so much better now, this heat and everything. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Man, all this stuff that's going on in my stinking life, these people, and they repented and God forgave them, and now my stinking shade tree's dying. It's better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? What a lesson, huh? Because of anger. Talking about suicide. Suicide. Did you know this stuff? Did you know that there were suicidal people in the scriptures, and the Holy Ghost allowed it to be written in his word to share with us? Suicide is described in the Bible. Suicidal thoughts, and why in the scriptures? Well, because of life's weariness. Life gets weary, doesn't it? And it can't be helped because we're born sinners. We die And the only way to get any hope is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And to get any meaning out of this vain existence is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And to find out who we are and what our reason is and what our identity is through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Lord and through the Scriptures and through truth and honesty and justice and purity. Suicidal thoughts and why in the Bible. Life's weariness. Yes, suicidal thoughts are in the Scriptures and by some of the most honorable men that there are. Job, Jonah, and so on and so forth. And the Lord shared that with us and gave it to us to learn from. Because of life's weariness. Brothers and sisters, don't feel like you're alone. And I don't know if you had suicidal thoughts. I would venture to say that everybody listening to my voice has thought about it. Life's weariness will drive you to think about it. Life's vanity, not getting any answers, will cause you to think about it. And that's scriptural. God knows these things go on. And anger. Being mad and angry at God will cause you to think about suicide. Yes, it will. Well, we're going to stop right there. I'm not going to rush this thing. Let's go ahead and stop right there. And it's been a good study so far, hasn't it? Talking about suicide, how do you have a good study concerning suicide? Because God's Word's involved in it. That's why. We find out truth, okay? And if some of you are out there considering that and thinking about it and meditating thinking about that, just stick with these studies and let's study what God's Word says, because I think these truths that we talked about today are kind of enlightening. I mean, it's helpful to know that there were some of the most righteous men and women in the Scriptures that thought about this matter, that thought about suicide and killing themselves, and even asked God personally to kill them. I don't want to live. I want to die. It's better for me to die. Kill me, Lord. You're not the only one that thinks that way and has thought that way. This thing's been from way back. And we found out some reasons today, haven't we? Life's weariness. This life is weary. There are some good times, but it's not like the world thinks. All this happy, happy, lovey-dovey, warm, fuzzy, yummy, yummy, gummy bear stuff that goes on, and everybody pretends that life is so stinking wonderful and stuff like that. They're out of their minds, and they're lying to themselves, and they're deceiving themselves. And that even talking about how life is weary and how life is vain and there's no purpose and you can't find no reason, even though they're always searching for a reason and always weary and always vain, they won't admit it. I admit it. I've lived long enough that I'm making my mind up what the truth is. And it's exactly as God says in His Word. All this positive thinking and all this, that, and the other. I like thinking positive about the truthful things. But when they try to get you thinking positive about lies, that don't do nothing to make you want to commit suicide. It'll drive you weary. Life's weariness. And trying to talk yourself into thinking that something's good for me on this earth and in this world when the Bible tells you it's not. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. God is true. God is right. And life's vanity, and then also anger. Anger. If one of these things have God the Holy Ghost has spoken to your heart about this, you just hang in there, okay? You just hang in there. Don't you do nothing stupid. Because God's Word knows about all this stuff. And He gives us good truth that we can understand why it goes on and how to fix it. The world can't offer you that. The world does not offer you how to fix things. They don't know. They don't know how to fix nothing. Because they don't believe in Christ. They don't believe in God's word. They don't believe in truth. They want their sin. Nom, 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 nom. But sin bringeth forth death. You can't get around it. So, suicide is described in the scriptures. We'll stop right there. And next lesson we'll pick up and we'll talk about some more of this matter. Suicide is described in the Bible. And we'll talk about suicide brought on and why in the Bible. We talked about people thinking about suicide in the scriptures, but next time we're going to talk about suicide that actually happened, that was brought on, and why it was brought on. Okay? So here's the scriptures for today. You ready? The first one is Job chapter 3, verse 10 through 13. Job chapter 3, verse 20 through 22. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. And Jonah chapter 3, verse 10 through chapter 4, verse 11. Okay? And we'll stop right there and we'll halt this lesson for today and we'll pick it up on our next one. Suicide, as described in the scriptures. And we're not studying something that we think. We're studying something that God says is true. Okay? God's word is true. Thy word is truth. Thank you for honoring the Lord. I love you with Christ's love, brothers and sisters. And don't you do nothing crazy. You get back in the Word and join us in the Word. And let's get this thing right and our thinking right. Okay? The Lord bless you. It's Brother Thurman. Talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.